This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Respected brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we are joining you from the Iqra TV studios in London. And Alhamdulillah, with myself, I have today Ustad Abu Taymiyyah. MashaAllah, Ustad Abu Taymiyyah is someone who has traveled extensively, has studied over 4 years in Yemen, 6 years in Madinatul Munawwara, mashallah. And right now he's pursuing his master's in the subject of fiqh, alhamdulillah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for having me on, Harun.
Alhamdulillah.
And a special shout out to our brothers from Crawley, Waleed, who facilitated this liaising with you guys. So, jazakallah khair for being a facilitator and enabler of goodness, inshallah.
Barakallah fiqh. How is your Ramadan going?
Well, alhamdulillah, it's going well. It's actually one of my best Ramadans.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Really enjoying going from one masjid to another, just to be able to read Quran and to give reminders. It's honestly been a pleasure with our brothers, yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
And you've been, Ustad Abu Taymiyyah, you've been traveling a lot, you've been speaking to the youth, you've been connecting with them. I thought today we'll speak about the journey of a believer.
Yes.
About how someone who is living their life maybe received the Islam as inheritance from their parents. But a time comes where they feel that their life is not pleasing them anymore. Mm. Where they feel like it's not satisfying their heart anymore.
Sorry.
And they start to look into, okay, this Islam that I have, what is it?
Mm.
You know, this Allah that I believe in, who is he? This Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I hear of, who was he?
Yeah.
So, taking it from the beginning, someone who doesn't know much, he's been taught the basics in the maktab, he knows how to read the Arabic, but that's all he knows about Islam.
Yeah.
Where does he go and where does he start from?
Yeah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa usalli wa usallim ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan al-alameen. Ba'athahu Allahu shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'in Allahi bi'idni wa siraj al-munira. This is, subhanAllah, you know what you just mentioned, not feeling the satisfaction, this contentment. It's something that a lot of the Shabab are going through. And it's not just Muslim youngsters, non-Muslims.
SubhanAllah.
And I've spoken about it many, many, multiple times. Right? We have all of these different YouTubers, these pop stars, they are spiritually dead and empty, and they themselves are coming out and admitting to this, right? Mm-hmm. How they live double lives, a life in front of the camera, and then another life behind it. Some of them are crying themselves to sleep. So I've been quoting some of these YouTubers to knock some sense into the youth, explaining to them we're spending hours watching these streamers, these YouTubers, and in reality, right, they themselves are stuck in life, like they don't know what to do next, right? So why would we spend all of that time doing so? Even recently, subhanAllah, I came across an article, I believe it was on the Daily Mail, and they were saying that the Muslims, right, have the most satisfying life expectancies or something along the lines of that, and they are the most content and whatever have you. So I use some of these articles that are written by non-Muslims to prove a point at times.
Mm.
You know, we can go through the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal and the statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's very, very unfortunate when we quote Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes we feel that we are maybe a little bit out of touch with it, or it's not necessarily maybe speaking about me. It was more specific to the companions who lived a completely different life, or that the Sharia doesn't actually understand me. But we know that the deen of Allah, it is fit for every time and age, right? And Allah tells us this, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيَنُّ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever from the male and female believers, right, they come with iman, they come with tawheed, right? They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people were going to give them that satisfying, happy life. And also Allah tells us, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my religion, this person we're going to give him a ma'isha, a life of a life of depression and a life of sadness, right? So this Allah Azza wa Jal told us this 1400 years ago. A lot of time we need some sort of article to come along, some studies that have been put together in order for us to actually really, really believe. But you know, if only we just looked at the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we explored that and we dug deep, we'd be, subhanAllah, in a very, very, very different place. You know.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So when someone feels now, okay, you know what, I think this is the path I want to tread upon. Where do I start? Because for a young person, they see all of this, they go on YouTube, they see all these ulama, they see these sheikhs, and they read the Quran and they find it overwhelming. They look at the hadith and they think there's so many, half of them are sahih, are they da'if, what's happening there, right? So it's overwhelming for a person that's wants to tread upon this path now. Where do they start? What should they do and what should they stay away from?
Okay, so I always suggest to our brothers and sisters, right, of course I speak a lot about why we need to seek knowledge. And subhanAllah, if you look in the Quran, Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his prophet an instruction, he gave him a commandment, and likewise he prohibited him from something. This is the greatest person to ever walk on the face of this earth. What was he instructed with? And I'm going to touch on the other one as well, because I think inshallah ta'ala is relevant to our audience that are listening. The first commandment that I want to speak and mention is when Allah instructed his prophet to ask for an increase in knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. This is the prophet of Allah that's been instructed with this, right? Let alone anyone else. And he's the one that, you know, conveyed the revelation. The revelation is coming down upon him. And he is the a'lamul khalq. He is the most knowledgeable from amongst them. And even then, he's being told to ask for an increase in knowledge. And this is a lesson for us as well. It's not specific to him. Because with an increase in knowledge, we'll be able to maneuver and navigate around a lot of the challenges that we run into. Even Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, was the famous commentary of Sahih Bukhari called Fath al-Bari. It's the most well-known and most popular, right? He says, Allah did not instruct his prophet to ask for an increase in anything other than knowledge.
SubhanAllah.
Right? And the greatest of knowledge that we should be seeking is learning about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Right? Like, think about it for a moment, right? We respect people based on what we know about them.
Yes.
Right? There are certain individuals and personalities that you look up to because of all the things that he's achieved in life. Oh, he's done this and he's done that and he's done, and then you begin to respect him. There's an awe about that individual. You'll hear about somebody maybe that you're going to be meeting. Like, and then you've heard, you know, all of these things over the years, and then you can't wait to meet him. Why? Because of everything that you came to know about him.
Yeah.
Right? And when you think about it as well, right? Why is it that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us with something, it falls on deaf ears? Our hearts don't become activated. It doesn't move us. And that is maybe simply because we just don't know anything about him, right? We hear a lot about yearning to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at today's society, who actually really can't wait to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet him. And whoever doesn't, Allah doesn't want to meet him. And how can we increase that? How can we, you know, strive to really have that love and excitement to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to want to meet him, right, on Yawm al-Qiyamah? It is to learn about him. And the only source of knowledge that we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are his names and his attributes, right? What are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll give you an example, right? I mentioned it yesterday, in fact. It's fresh on my mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the deceptive eye and that which the hearts conceal, right? You know, when you're transacting, making that deal, you know something has been written in those tiny letters, right? You know that you are trying to deceive this individual so you can what? Pull some more money out of him, squeeze a little bit more out of this individual, and he doesn't know what he's getting himself involved in.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching every single move of yours, every step that you take and every move that you make. And there will be a time that you will be dealt with accordingly, right? And we believe in our religion, it's an Islamic concept, what goes around comes around, right? How can this individual, my brother, and those who are listening, even think about continuing in this way? We hear about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a sami' al-basir al-raqib, right? He watches all over us, right? Everything that we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to it. Everything that we do, he is watching it very, very closely. When we are under that blanket, right? You know, once upon a time, if you wanted to do haram, you would have to go into the living room. You had those big Dell computers, right? With the keyboard. You need to take the USB and then you had the webcam. You're engaging and you're watching the door, right? As somebody walks in, you don't want them to catch you using MSN. Remember MSN? Yeah, were you old enough? MSN, MySpace, these kind of stuff, right? That was once upon a time. It was a bit more difficult to do haram. Now it's become so much more easier. It's a fingertip away under your blanket. You feel like nobody is watching, right? Haram, subhanAllah, it's a fingertip away. It's times like that, you know, when We've gone through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. We've learnt about who Allah azza wa jal is, right? This is when it comes extremely, extremely handy. There is a direct correlation between the sins that we fall into and learning about who Allah azza wa jal is. Strengthening our aqeedah, our belief system, right? Via the names that Allah azza wa jal has told us about. And like I mentioned, this is the only source of knowledge that we have of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So I say to our parents who are listening, maybe sometimes you've tried your utmost best to tell your son to do this and to do that, and he doesn't seem to be listening. And then his friend comes along and he said, let's go and do this. And he's more than happy to do whatever his friend is saying. Perhaps he doesn't know anything about Allah Azza wa Jal. So to maybe go through a course of these names of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? That the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us about, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا. Right, inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'ina isman. Allah Azza wa Jal has 99 names, and it's actually not limited to 99. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal has more. But the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about, man ahsaha dakhla al-jannah. Whoever does ihsa of it, what does that actually mean? Memorizes it, understands it, and acts upon it, this person will enter into al-jannah.
Subhanallah.
Right. So really, to just instill this within them, of who Allah Azza wa Jal is, these names of al-Rahma, Allah Azza wa Jal being al-Rahim, al-Rahman. Right, al-Raqib, right, al-Halim, al-Latif. Like even when we go through hardships and difficulties, right, we feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Just going through, subhanAllah, some of the names in Surah Yusuf, everything that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam went through after having lost not just Yusuf, but then he ended up losing his second most beloved son, Benjamin.
SubhanAllah, yes.
Right, like, you go through it and then you really learn about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And how Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't just abandon him. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Right? And then you find, subhanAllah, the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Aleem. Right? Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla knowing of everything that's going to happen. Right? Allah, and يعني Allahu Akbar, يعني it's one of my favorite surahs, يعني, you know, it's really one of my favorite surahs. Allah Azza wa Jalla knowing of everything that's going to happen. And in it is his wisdom, Al-Hakim. These are the two names that maybe I believe it's three times that Allah connected it to. Al-Alim and also what? Al-Hakim. Innahu al-Alim al-Hakim. Allah knowing of everything and Allah Azza wa Jal being all wise. So when something is happening, don't think that Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't know what's going on. Everything happens within the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. How many a time, Brother Harun, have we been in a situation where we desperately wanted something and we think that this is the best thing for us and it just doesn't happen?
Yep.
Right, and then years go by. And then we say to ourselves, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Now it begins to make sense. And this is where the name of Al-Hakim comes in extremely handy. It allows you to be a lot more patient, right? To have that forbearance that many people may actually struggle with. Knowing that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to take care of everything. I'll give an example that I normally like to use, right? There's a sister that you so desperately want and you feel like there's no other woman on the face of this earth like her. And she is going to be the one that gives you that happiness and that love and affection. But it just doesn't seem to be happening. That bushra that you badly want, huh? It's not happening. SubhanAllah, you've tried everything in your power to make this happen. It just didn't happen. Years go by, Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses you with a lady with a better bushra. Huh? That has characteristics and traits that the mind, you know, couldn't imagine. And then it's then when you say, SubhanAllah, man, if that didn't happen, I won't have this today. Likewise, when people go through divorce, people even say all the time, I prayed istikhara though. I've done my istikhara 4 or 5 times. Why is this happening to me? Wasn't she meant to be the right person for me? But it didn't work out. And now he is going back and forth to court, right? To get custody over his children. Like, look at the bright side. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jal wants you now to become an individual that is a lot better than you were before. Allah doesn't make you go through these trials and tribulations in order to break you, but to come back up stronger.
SubhanAllah, yes.
That's why we always hear, right? These trials have actually made me a stronger person, right?
Yeah.
And that comes through these trials and tribulations. And then SubhanAllah, you've gone through this. Later on, you walk into this relationship a better man, a changed man, right? Maybe, SubhanAllah, had it been maybe a couple of years ago, that wouldn't be the case, right? So just to connect ourselves with Allah, to go through the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, that indeed will instill something with us. I'll mention a quick incident that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentioned in one of his books. He talks about a Bedouin that ran into a lady, right? In the middle of nowhere, it was a desert. And he began to seduce her.
Hmm.
Huh? And there's nobody there, in the middle of the desert. And he saw that she was getting very, very, you know, worried and concerned about what he was trying to do. And he told her, Mimma takhafin, what are you scared of? Right? What are you scared of? SubhanAllah. La yarana illa al-kawakib. The only thing I can see is the stars.
Yeah.
Right? SubhanAllah. She responded back by saying, Aina mukawkibuha? Aina khaliquha? Aina bariha? Where's the one that brought these stars into existence? Where's the creator? This is a woman that really internalized the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. So, right. Alhamdulillah, you know, you said the first step would be to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
You know, it would be the obvious thing, to the creator that you're going to worship, the one you're going to return to. We should recognize him before. But you touched something within when you were talking about the parents.
Mm.
When a parent, majority of our parents, they were grown up in a different time, different era. There was no internet as such. There wasn't YouTube. There wasn't a lot of knowledge available to them. So they got whatever they received from the teacher or the parents. What can they do when they see their children maybe not on the deen? What can they do to bring them back to the deen? What can they do to, you know, facilitate that journey for them and make it easy for them to be able to, you know, recognize who the Lord is? And
okay, so there's a couple of components, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, we have to be an example.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm sitting in front of the TV all day long, I can't expect my children to be any different. Right? I have parents calling me all the time saying, oh, my daughter's on TikTok and she's watching all of these, you know, the best word to use is these very despicable things on there, right? And it makes me feel extremely uncomfortable. I remember, subhanAllah, one time when a lot of the questions were coming in, right, about this, or more than one parent was coming up to me, talking to me about their kids being glued on TikTok and Snapchat. I said, Auntie, do you have the app on your phone? And she said, yes. So I was like, Auntie, how do you expect your daughter not to be on TikTok when you're on TikTok, when you're on Snap all the time? Or you're on Instagram scrolling through it, laylan wa naharan, sabahan wa sahan, day and night, right? We have to set their example, right? Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us this in multiple hadith, right? Talking about the parent and how the child becomes influenced by them. So we have to bear that in mind, right? If I'm someone sitting in front of the TV all day long, what's the difference between them and between us and them being glued to their gadgets?
Yeah.
Sometimes we actually give it to them so that we can finish the Bollywood series. Huh? We want to go through all of it and we don't want them distracting us. We want to be fully focused. Like, we have to be setting that example, maybe spending time with them. You know, subhanAllah, I really rate, I think that's what the youngsters do, I really, subhanAllah, appreciate a certain type of parent. There are parents, every single night, Brother Harun, they sit with their kids.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Every night, before they go to sleep, everyone gets together, maybe on the dinner table. It's not because they've done something wrong. Sometimes we only speak to our kids when they've done something wrong. We pull them into a meeting, huh? Enter into the head teacher's office, and then they get it. Maybe they end up getting the back of the hand, right? That's the only time you interact with your kids. But they sit with them every night. How are you guys? What are you thinking? Where do you want to go? What should we do? Like, planning with the kids, recreational time, yani, the time to socialize with them. Because if you're not befriending them, there'll be others that are more than happy to welcome them, right? When's the last time we took our kids to an ice cream parlor? When is the last time we took them maybe to a theme park or to somewhere we can just go out and enjoy ourselves? Sometimes we might be individuals, we tell them everything is haram. Don't do this, don't hang around. Okay, provide me now with halal alternatives.
Yeah.
If you're saying to your daughter, don't go out with these girls that don't hold your best interest. Okay, I need to be the guy that, you know, provides them with a solution. Otherwise they get bored. As youngsters, they are going to get bored. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have to kind of like be there, you know, befriending them, spending time with them. And it's not going to be easy, oh parent that is listening. Yani, it's not an easy journey, especially in this very sexualized society where just about everything around you drags you to haram,
yeah.
Right? So we have to be there. Like, even if you look, subhanAllah, at the beginning of Surah Yusuf, when he saw the dream, he saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon. Remember, he had many brothers. Yusuf alayhi salatu had many brothers. But as soon as he saw that dream and he woke up in the manner that he did, shocked, what does this mean? Who's the first person that he went to? He went to his father. What does that show us? That he felt extremely comfortable around him. And his father facilitated that. He created that kind of environment. So we have to kind of like be aware of that. Yeah, and he's spending time with them, engaging with them, setting that example, right? And it's not easy, and you will be rewarded for every moment of hardship that you go through with your kids. But as someone who's a religious speaker, يعني, I can't change in a 5-minute phone call what you weren't able to do in maybe the last 15 years. Sometimes parents say, please talk to my child. Like, I don't have I was going to say magic wand. No, we don't believe in magic. But I don't have these superpowers now to just, you know. So you have to be doing that. You can't expect me to change it. Wallahi, a lot of parents call, and at the end of the day, they themselves haven't fulfilled that religious obligation of going out their way to really guide them to that which is correct. Like, I can't do that straight away. Yes, yeah. I might be able to advise them, and of course, Allah may be able to open his heart with one advice. And we believe that can actually happen. But my parent, yani, that is listening, you have to kind of like, you know, take the initiative.
No. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. We are going to go on a short break right now, inshallah. And after break, my brothers and sisters, we are going to come back and we're going to continue this conversation with Ustad Abu Taymiyyah, inshallah. So keep sitting there, inshallah. Keep watching. We'll be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to another segment, alhamdulillah. I am with Ustad Abu Taymiyyah, who's alhamdulillah here at the studio in Iqra TV Studios London. And we were speaking about, Sheikh, about the journey of a believer back to Allah, and we touched upon, you know, what they should be doing first, and you touched upon the fact that, you know, recognizing Allah, because it makes sense. You know, many of us, we want to be practicing, we know about all the different aspects of the deen, you know, prayer, dua, we do all of these, but we haven't got a recognition of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then we touched upon the fact about the parents.
Yeah.
You know, how can they facilitate an environment, and how can they instill, you know, those qualities in their child when they want to, you know, become, if they want their children to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, we have a couple of examples in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sure a lot of us have memorized this hadith. It's in the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi, the great scholar, right? One time the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding his riding beast, and he had his cousin Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, was very, very young. They say when the Messenger passed away, he was like maybe 12, 13. There's a difference of opinion of how old his age was or how old he was. And subhanAllah, as he you know, is on the back of his riding beast, you know, they're driving, and then he says, you know, Ya Ghulam, O young man. Right? Even the way the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak, right? O young man, Ihfadillah Yahfadk. Save God, the boundaries of Allah, and Allah Azza will take care of you. Ihfadillah Tajidhu Tujahak. Right? You save God, the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you need Him. Right? فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Right? And when you ask, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. So He's instilling Tawheed within Him. Right? Teaching Him that sincerity of when you do call out directly to Allah Jalla fi'ula. Right? So from a very, very young age, you have another example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, Umar ibn Abi Salama. Right? One time they were sitting around the dinner table, and Umar ibn Salama was like a small child. His hands were going everywhere on the plate, right? It's going everywhere on the plate. And then the Messenger stopped in a very nice and gentle way. He said to him, Ya Ghulam, O young man, Sammi Allah, wa kul bi yameenik, wa kul mima yadik. Mention Bismillah, right? Eat that which is in front of you, right? And eat with your right hand. SubhanAllah, look at Umar, look what he said, right? And this is key here. He said, فَمَا زَالَتْ تِلْكَ طِعْمَتِي بَعْدِ. From that moment on, I continued doing what the Messenger of Allah had taught me then. From a very young child. What do we sometimes say? We may say, she's still young, you know, he's still a little kid. He'll learn later on. And I remember, SubhanAllah, a relative one time advised her about her child at a time she was listening to Justin Bieber, right? The kid, right? And the parents' response was exactly this. The response was, when she grows older, she'll make her own decisions and whatever have you. And as the saying goes, right, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
It becomes so much more harder. Yes. And even Hassan al-Basri, the great scholar, he would say, you know, العلم في الصغر كالنقش في الحجر. علم, knowledge at a very young age, is like carving into a stone. And it's hard for you to, even if you stop practicing later on, you have a foundation that you can always what fall back onto. And I'll say this as someone, I've not been practicing all of my life, right? When I was taught Islamic morals and values from a young age, when I went off the rails, it was once upon a time I used to live in London. Like when I'm missing Jum'ah, or when I used to miss the Jum'ah, or miss my praise, it wouldn't sit well with me. I feel that something is missing.
Yeah.
And you know, I wouldn't feel good inside. Right? And I knew that I wasn't doing something right and I need to at least do that, So it would kind of always drag me back, and that is because these Islamic morals and values were instilled within me from a very young age, and a lot of people would testify to that as well. And maybe one last example that I can give, inshallah ta'ala, is Ubad ibn Samit. When he taught his young, his young son, that which relates to Al-Qadr, which is an important aspect of a Muslim's doctrine, right? And even today, when you look at, some that may end up leaving Al-Islam, even that which is atheistic, you could perhaps, pull it back to the aspects of Al-Qadr. Why is this happening to me?
Yes.
Like if we dug deep and understood the aspect of Al-Qadr and why things take place, and we touched on it earlier as well, the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is not doing this because He hates you. Maybe He's got something better in store for you that you just need to wait for. Yes. We're just extremely hasty. We want things there and then. Mm-hmm. Not understanding. And I always mention this, right? Our minds, right, are limited. You would agree that your eyes are limited, right? Can you see everything? Can you see that which is happening?
No.
I don't know, in Peckham? Huh? No. I don't think you have those superpowers, right? Even our ears are limited. What we hear, right? The ability to hear and what we can actually smell. You can't smell that which is taking place outside,
yeah.
Right? If we've accepted all of this, why can't we accept that our intellects and minds are limited as well?
Yes.
It won't make sense to you all the time, right? And you might not ever know the reason why. But sometimes you do. Years later, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. So anyways, going back to this point, Ubad ibn Samit, he says to his son, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكْ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكْ. Whatever you missed out on, it was never meant for you. Right? All of your family, they managed to get that deal and they made all of this. It was never meant for you. Right? Right? And whatever you did end up acquiring, it was always meant for you. And then he said to him, if you die upon anything other than this, then you will become from the people of the fight. Point is, from a very young age, he's instilling, right, aspects of creed into him. So that when the problem does strike, and he finds himself in a difficult situation, and everyone is maybe accomplishing something and he isn't, he doesn't feel bad about himself. He doesn't think about, you know what, maybe I need to leave the religion. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the issue of Al-Qadr, subhanAllah, I sometimes look at these ahadith and try to reflect on it. It's so much more deeper than what is actually apparent.
Yeah.
And we see this, subhanAllah, the more we live, why people, they find themselves in these compromising situations, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, yeah. And we've spoken about the parents' perspective, but
yeah.
Now let's change it around and put it in the child's perspective.
Okay.
So the child is trying to practice now, and he goes home, and at home they haven't got that environment around them. So they're struggling now. So what did they do in that situation when the parents are against them, or they are talking against them, or they're saying, oh, you've left this, or you left that, or you changed. So, what do they do?
Okay,
so what do the parents do as well?
You know, this kind of situation reminds me of the seven sleepers. That's what they tend to normally call them, Ashabul Kahf. The surah, the chapter that we read every single Friday, right? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about a group of young men. Innahum fityatun amanu. They were a group of young men that believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exactly what we just mentioned right now. Going into an environment where everyone seems to be against you, the only one that is practicing. And even subhanAllah, as the Mufassirun, they mentioned the way they met up with one another. It was that yearly festival that they had in order now to commit shirk, to worship idols, right? And there was a tyrannical, a barbaric ruler in charge at the time. And some of them, they mentioned his name was Decius.
Right.
Maybe I've pronounced it incorrectly, but Decius, right? So that was his name, subhanAllah. So they came to the festival, and some of these young men, they felt extremely uncomfortable, and they started leaving this shirki festival one by one. And they went to stand outside because their families were inside.
Yeah.
And as each one was leaving, they didn't know each other. They all went and stood outside, and they began to, subhanAllah, just look like that. And they began to think to themselves, like, is he outside the same reason why I am outside? And they began to speak to one another, subhanAllah, and they eventually realized that they're all on the same page.
Allah.
A group of young men, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them together, and they felt extremely uncomfortable. What was it exactly that they were doing, right? After they came together, it began to spread that these young men are now going against our traditions and whatever have you. And then the king came to know about it, the tyrannical, barbaric ruler of the time. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوا مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا. An interaction took place and they weren't terrified to say exactly what they believe. So they did the right thing and they stood up to the king. And the Mufassirun, they mentioned that they were given an ultimatum to renegade or to leave whatever their beliefs were. And then there will be another meeting. By that time, they decided to flee. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that they moved away from whatever they were doing. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla went and showered them with His mercy. Right? Yes. They will flee to the cave, them and all of the other young men that were together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ رَشَدًا. Right? SubhanAllah, يعني Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them that which is better. What does this show us, or what is the lesson that we can actually take from this? That when you do the right thing,
yes,
right, when you do the right thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that which is better.
SubhanAllah.
Right? Save them from that. And then later on, you know, they walked back into the city. This is like hundreds of years later, after Allah Azza wa Jalla woke them up from their sleep. And, you know, they walked in mu'azzizan, because it used to be spread that there was a group of young men who had, you know, fled with their religion. What was the ending of that story? Nobody knew. And then later on they came out. And even the similar thing, subhanAllah, with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam.
Yes.
Because his father, right, was an idol worshipper. And he was a young man as well. He did the right thing. He stood up for that which is correct. And he moved away. What does Allah tell us in Surah Maryam? فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. Right? Yes. And when he again abandoned that which they were doing the right thing, leaving it for the sake of Allah, and you can maybe similarize it to the situation and the society that we're in, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you that which is better. And what did he do in his case? Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with Ishaq. He gave him a child, and from his offspring was Yaqub, and so on and so forth.
SubhanAllah. So
yeah,
making sure that you have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being amongst the right group of people,
yeah,
being there. But I wouldn't recommend, or you wouldn't recommend, I would say as well, you know, to run away from your parents.
No, of course, that's not exactly what I'm saying. No.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying that. Of course.
just in case someone gets the wrong message.
No, we're not instructing you guys to leave your families or anything like that. But subhanAllah, you know,
you have to have a balance there.
Yeah. You look at Surah Kahf, the yes, seven sleepers that run away with their religion. And then you look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, again, that done the right thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them that which is better.
SubhanAllah.
Right? Allah, and even subhanAllah, he teaches us how he spoke to his father, who was an idol worshipper, calling on to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? You know, like four times is mentioned in Surah Maryam, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. People always ask me, how do I advise my parents that are maybe doing that which is wrong? Right? Yeah. In a gentle way.
Absolutely.
The moment you start behaving in an ignorant manner, how do you expect them to ever accept anything from you?
Exactly.
And the hardest form of da'wah is the da'wah to your family, whether it may be your sister or your brother.
Yeah.
And to maybe conclude on this point, my favorite ahadith, or from the favorite ahadith of mine, is when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْءٍ اتِّقَاءً إِلَّا إِلَّا أَعْطَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٍ. You don't leave something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, except Allah will give you that which is better.
SubhanAllah.
Right? So my young brother and my sister, it's really not worth it. You're going to run yourself in a very, very evil place. And then eventually later on, you'll come to realize that the deen was always the best thing for me. Yeah. Right? Being religious doesn't necessarily mean being horrible. Being miserable.
Yes.
we all have fun. We go to the restaurants. We enjoy ourselves. Right? There's ways that you can do the halal thing, right?
Yeah.
Even on Eid, we enjoy ourselves, yani.
Exactly.
I think earlier we were saying, right? Petki kushkaro, yani.
Petku kushkaro,
yani. You know, making your stomachs happy. This is the objective, or one of the objectives of Eid, to be happy, yani. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, Hunna ayyamu aklin wa shurb, yani. They are days of eating and drinking. So you can enjoy yourself, yani. Ma fi mushkila. But it's just the haram that is never going to give you that satisfaction that you're looking for.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Abu Taymiyyah, yeah. Ustaz Abu Taymiyyah. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for having me on.
Alhamdulillah.
It's been 1 year. I think we have our annual
annual
1 year get together. Right. So
it's a pleasure having you here at the studio. I wish you all the best, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to use you for his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue. And you're working hard, alhamdulillah. We are seeing all the work you're doing across the world. You know, all the masajid and the youths, alhamdulillah, that you're benefiting. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of that.
Ameen, ameen.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Allah for having me on and giving me the opportunity to speak to all of our viewers.
Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, I hope you know, we all listened carefully and we learned from our the Ustad. Inshallah, we shall be going back on a break, inshallah. Keep watching Iqra Studio, keep watching Iqra TV rather, subhanAllah.
And
yeah, inshallah, subhanAllah. And we shall join you very soon again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.